in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. Now, these verses are full of important lessons. Notice the word here for God, Elohim, is in the plural. The same word used in chapter 1, verse 1, Elohim, is in the plural. The singular is El. You've heard the word Beth El. Bet El is house of God. El is God. Elohim is the plural. The Ohim is like our S. God, gods, Elohim. But the word for created in verse 1 is not plural. It's singular. So if I said, my wife and I am happy to be here. Did you get the English grammar? We am happy to be here. We am. So the noun is in the plural, but the verb is in the singular. And the noun is actually in more than two, so there's Trinity. The Hebrew has a plural more than two. So we, not two, we three, if you like, we three am happy to be here. And you see, God is saying here, in the beginning, God, the Trinity, created singular. The three in one is there in the first verse of the Bible. In verse 26, it says, let us make man. This is beautiful language. But it says this, we will make man in our image. Now you'll notice this, that there is a difference between, a huge difference between the animal life human life. Animal life was not created by the breath of God. Animal life was created by an act of creation, a word that was spoken. And God said in chapter 1, verse 24, let the earth bring forth the animals. So the animals come from the earth. But in verse 26, man comes from God. In verse 20, God said, let the waters bring forth fish and even birds. The birds, it says, come on the fifth day with the fish, the birds being created. Let the waters bring forth, let the earth bring forth. So there you have the creation of fish, birds, and animals from water and from the earth. But when he says, let us make man, man comes directly from God. And every human being, even unredeemed humanity, still bears some mark of his divine origin. Man was created by God. In the image of God. Man does not come from the earth. He doesn't come from any force or power. The very idea and concept of man, the whole source of the human race, is God himself. The most amazing statement in the Bible is in verse 26 and 27 when it says, let us make man like God. Now this, if I put it in that way, it makes you realize the power of the statement. Man in our image. Man made to be like God. This statement is so strong that it's startling, when, especially when I put it like that. There is something about you and me that is like God. It's a dangerous statement. You take it too far, you could even say, well, I'm so like God, maybe I am God. But that is nonsense. I am not God, you are not God. So, I am like God, we are in the image of God, you are like God, but you are not God. So there is something about you that is so like God But there is something about you that separates you and makes you totally different to God. There is something about you that makes you not like God. So we need to ask ourselves, what about us is like God? And what about us is not like God? Well, let me answer the second question first. It's easier and it's most important. In what way are we not like God? Well, it's obvious, really, when you think about it. God is not dependent. I need water. My good friend Jeremiah has given me a book, some water. I need water. I don't need water every 5 minutes. I can go through the lecture without water. I could maybe survive, you know, till Sunday without water, especially with air conditioning. But by Monday or Tuesday, I will be dead. I will die quickly without water. Without food, I might live a month or two. Without air, I wouldn't survive the lecture. Don't worry, we have enough air to last the end. You can see I'm totally dependent, aren't I? I can't, I'm weak. I am so incredibly weak. A tiny microbe that I can't see can kill me. I am so incredibly weak. And I might think I'm so powerful and strong, but if I fall down 10 feet, if I fall up a distance of 10 feet, I might die just by that one thing. If I fall down the stairs, I'm very fragile. I have to be careful. When they build houses, they must put careful handrails. They must put a wall around the top of houses. They ought to put more walls in Singapore by the gutters. Because there's some very deep gutters in Singapore, and I look at them and think, wow, I don't want to fall down there. You know, I'm fragile. I could break my bones. I'm definitely not God. I am so weak. But God does not depend on anybody. God does not breathe. He doesn't drink. He doesn't eat. And whatever he wants, he creates. Now that's great, isn't it? If he needs £1 million, he could say, and he wouldn't be forgery either. God can do what he wants. You know, I don't know if you make foolish prayers like I think in my head I sometimes pray an exactly a wish. You know, I'm going along and I need a cash point. You know, ATM machine. And I think, oh Lord, let there be an ATM machine in this station or something, you know. And of course, that's not a prayer because it's just a wish. God isn't going to create all the processes to make an ATM machine appear. That's a huge miracle. But you see, all those processes, God is not dependent on. God can do what he wants. Man is a victim of cause and effect. That is why human beings say, who made God? And the answer is, no. That's human. No one made God. God is. And that's the greatest fact about God, is that God is an independent being. He depends on no one. When we see God, there is power and life, holiness and love radiating from God that imparts life to those who watch him. To look at God is to be made alive. There is so much abundance in God. There's so much abundance in God. He is so creative in all that he is, but we as human beings, we have no power of our own. And this is the great secret of the Christian life. It is to learn the power that is ours if we learn the secret of depending on God. Sin comes into the human race through a broken relationship. Therefore, we have empty, barren hearts, we have food, we have air, we have drink, but we don't have life, because we have no life in ourselves. We have no happiness in ourselves, we have no peace, we have no joy, we have no source of life in ourselves. Spiritual life comes from God. That is why we need a relationship with God. Life without God is empty. And if we don't understand that yet, we will still have to discover the utter emptiness of life without God. Man is dependent, God is not. So in what way are we like God? Well, I put here three things: free will, soul, spirit, if you like, and love. In fact, on the way here, it rained so hard, I normally come by MRT on the way here, I came by taxi. So I was talking to the taxi driver and I was sharing with him about the Lord, and his question to me was, why did God make us like this? Why did he make us with the ability to do wrong? And I said to him, well, because he made you in his image. He gave you the power to choose. And when he said, but why? I said, what you are saying is, you wish you were not like a human being. You wish you were an ant or a dog or something that does not have the power of choice, or a machine. But God did not make us machines. He made us with this wonderful power of choice. But you see, the power of the human being is wonderful and terrible. To be given the dignity of choice is an awesome power. And we can say why, but whether we understand why fully is not the question. The truth is, it's a fact, you can't escape it. The first thing that makes us different is we have moral choice. You choose between right and wrong. And when God created man in chapter 2, it says that he made him in his image, and he planted him in the garden. And then in chapter 2, verse 15, he put him in the garden. And this is man, the first command that man received. God said, of every tree of the garden, you may freely eat. Now that's the first command. Now if I said to you, look, here's 999 things you can do with your life. Wow! That's tremendous. And the first thing God said, look, there's 999 trees. Go and enjoy them. And then he turned around and he said, look, there's one tree. Just one. Don't eat it. If you eat that tree, the Hebrew says, dying, you will die. Which means, you will definitely, absolutely, surely die. Now man didn't know what death was, but God gave him moral choice. He said, there's 999 trees. Maybe it's 99,999. Maybe it's 99 million. I don't know how many trees. But God said, look, there's your dinner for the next 10, 20, 30, 40,000 years. Go and enjoy those trees. Don't touch this one. Because you'll definitely, surely die if you touch it or eat it. So what did man do? You see, moral choice is in that point. You have to obey. It's the choice. Whether it was a literal tree or not is not our question here. The fact is this. Our choice even today is to either obey God or disobey. You know, in the New Testament it says this. If you live after the Spirit, you will live. But if you live according to the flesh, the Bible says, you, meaning all of us, not just you, me too, If we live after the flesh, the Bible says, you will die. So the word here, you must not eat of that tree or you'll die, we have a similar word for us today. You must not live according to the flesh or you'll die. You must live according to the Spirit. Now that's for Christians. But for the world, if you remain in sin, you'll remain dead and go to hell. If you want life, you must repent of the flesh and the life of disobedience, turn around and come back to the tree of life and eat of the fruit of the tree of life from the cross. The cross is the opportunity to restoration of eternal life, bringing us back to our purpose. The gospel is the presentation of the real only choice. Man had one choice, obey me or disobey me. That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You either do what I say or you go your own way. But if you go your own way, you'll die and all the rest will become meaningless. Man is a moral being. You and I tonight, we cannot escape the fact that we are going to make moral choices. If not every day, then almost every day we're going to face questions and issues about what we are going to do and the way we're going to live. And God says so many times in the Bible, choose ye this day whom you will serve. Joshua said, I put before you death and life. Choose life that you may live. And the first thing that makes us in the image of God is the power of choice. Now the second thing is spirit or soul. We'll just continue for another 5 minutes, okay? Spirit or soul. Soul and spirit is like, inside you is a room. The Bible talks about this in different images. The image of the tabernacle, the image of the temple. The Bible teaches us that the human being is like a three-part room. And the innermost room is something called a conscious spirit. It's what you are. If I cut off this arm, my conscious spirit remains. I am not just a body. You probably heard me give this example before, but there was an English unbelieving scientist. There are a lot of English unbelieving scientists, but there was one, he lived about 200 years ago. And in those days they were doing experiments on human bodies, and they used to get bodies from the mortuary and cut them up and find out what the liver does and the intestines, you know. They just found out. Anyway, they did all these experiments, and one atheist said, I can prove that man doesn't have a soul. And he said, look, that's the intestines, they digest food, and the liver, I don't know what that does, but you know, does something. And then he pointed to the brain, that's for thinking, and the heart, that's for blood, and so on. He said, look, that man is just a machine. And a Christian next to him said, it's not possible with these modern machines, but he said, look, there's the piano. If you have never seen a piano, I know that some people have never seen a piano, they've only seen keyboards. But he said, there's a piano, not electrical, mechanical piano. He said, take it apart. When you find the music, tell me. But you see, when you take a piano to pieces, or even a keyboard, you can find transistors and capacitors and wires. But you can't find the music. It's not physical. Now the truth is, a human being has a spirit which is a room inside him. And that is in the image of God. God is a spirit. He has consciousness. You are different to the animals in this respect. You have the power to think God sighs, thoughts. Now that is an amazing ability. It means you can have fellowship with God. It means he can talk to you what he feels, and you can understand him. There's something about you that God can relate to. It's like when he speaks, something in you says, you can understand him perfectly. You don't understand him a bit. You don't understand him, well, God said this, but I don't. But when God speaks and his spirit is moving in you, you say, wow, I'm in tune. I understand. In fact, a human being can never be happy till they are in tune with God. Because that is why we were created. We were created to be spirit, to be indwelt of the Spirit of God, and to know him. The purpose of a human being is to know God. We were given moral choice that's like God, and we have a human, we have a spirit from God, which is a human spirit. That spirit is a consciousness, and that means I can identify with God. I can think what he's thinking now. I can feel what he's feeling now. And one of the greatest privileges of a Christian is that he can be free from self and stop asking himself, what do I need, what do I want, and say, what do you want? What do you feel? God is not just identifying with us in our need. He's saying, look, now I've saved you. I want you to identify with me. In my life. In my eternal life. God has created us not just to be saved and put somewhere like a herd of sheep on a hillside. God has saved us to be in close friendship and fellowship with the eternal God. And the third thing that makes us like God is that God is love. This is so wonderful, because there's something about a human being that has the capacity to love and care for others. You were made, in fact, this is the purpose we were made, is to be an expression of the love of God. Now that's a tremendous power. It means that if we could see it, our purpose in this world is to care for children. To love children. It doesn't matter whether you're married and have children. It doesn't matter. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the weak children of this world. And there are millions of street children tonight, orphans. Why are there millions of children on the rubbish tips of our cities tonight? They're sleeping there. I have heard a missionary talk. He would talk. He was in China. He was going past a rubbish tip, and the spirit told him to walk in the rubbish tip. He thought, well, why? He walked over the rubbish tip, and as he was walking over the rubbish tip, he saw a movement. There was a baby girl. Picked up the baby girl, took the baby and came. Why? How is it that human beings can do that? Throw away. The world is crying out for a people who will be remade in the image of God, who will have moral power, fellowship with God, and love people. That's the definition of a Christian. Someone who has moral power, supernatural moral power. Not just somebody who's trendy and says, I'm different, I'm going to heaven. But I live as worldly and as sinful as the rest of the human race. Selfish, my own world, God blesses me in my... No, that's not Christianity. Moral choice to live a life that pleases God. Spiritual life and friendship and fellowship with God. And the power to love the weak and hurting people of our world. If, when man falls, the image of God, love, becomes the most destructive power in the human race, it's called sin. Sin is twisted love. And the strange thing is, if you mention the word love in the world, most people think of sex and immoral sex. But that shows you what twisted love does. It turns everything wrong and makes it selfishness. We were meant to love and to give care and our energy to caring for others. We were made to love and be part of a loving family, forgiving and caring. This is the image of God, and of course it's the church. If a church does not have love, let's pray, shall we? Then we'll have a break. Father, we praise you for these wonderful truths coming through your word. I pray you will so make them resonate in our hearts, strike a chord that wakens us to our wonderful calling to be in the image of God. In Jesus' name.